So it comes from Brachos on the sixth, page six. So it says like this. The Gemara cites another agadic statement. Rabbi Avin bar Rav Ada said that Rabbi Yitzchak. So that Rabbi Yitzchak. Said, okay, from where is it derived that the Holy One, blessed be He, wears phylacteries? As it is stated, the Lord has sworn by His right hand and by the arm of His strength. Since it is customary to wear upon holy objects, I'm sorry, to swear upon holy objects, it is understood that his right hand and the arm of his strength are the holy objects upon which God swore. Okay, so Nishba Hashem bimino uvzro uzo. So God swears on his right hand.
It's so weird.
Okay, now bimino, his right hand. Specifically, his right hand refers to the Torah, as it is stated in describing the giving of the Torah. From his right hand, a fiery law for his people. The arm of his strength, his left hand, refers to the phylacteries. As is stated, the Lord gave strength to his nation in the form of the mitzvah of tefillin, phylacteries. So, bimino zo Torah, his right is the Torah, as it says, bimino esh daslamo, right? So that from his right hand, the fire, uvzrozo, and the strength is referring to the tefillin. As Hashem gives strength, oz, to his people. And how do we know? And then how do we know? Minayin, and how do we know? Zumar asks. So from where is it derived that phylacteries provide strength for Israel? As it is written, and all the nations of the land shall see that the name of the Lord is called upon you, and they will fear you, as it was taught in the Braita. The Rebbe Elazar the Great says, this is a reference to the Torah, I'm sorry, to the tefillin of the head, upon which the name of God is written in fulfillment of the verse, that the name of the Lord is called upon you. Okay, so we're going to go back. We have to go step by step, but just laying out this very interesting piece. So now, if God wears tefillin, what does God's tefillin say? Right, so Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said to Rav Chiya bar Avin, "What is written in the phylacteries of the Master of the World?" Rav Chiya bar Avin replied, "It is written, who is like your people Israel, one nation in the land?" So God's tefillin, he puts in here. This is the commentary, served to connect him in a sense to the world, the essence of which is Israel.
Okay.
Okay, and then it continues. Rav Nachman Yitzchak continues, is the Holy One, blessed be He, glorified through the glory of Israel? Rav Chiya bar Avin answered, yes, as indicated by the juxtaposition of two of the verses that is stated. You have affirmed this day that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His laws and commandments and listen to His voice. And the subsequent verse states, and the Lord has affirmed this day that you are His treasure, as He spoke to you to keep His commandments. So from these two verses, it's derived that the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Israel, you have made me a single entity in the world, as you singled me out as separate and unique. And because of this, I will make you a single entity in the world, and you'll be a treasured nation chosen by God. Where do you see that? How do we know this idea? You've made me a single entity in the world. As it is stated, that Israel declares God's oneness by saying, Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And because of this, I will make you a single entity in the world, unique and elevated with the utterance, Who is like your people, Israel, one nation in the land? Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goyecha Baretz. Consequently, the Holy One, blessed be He, is glorified through the glory of Israel, who praises are written in God's tefillin.
So I had heard this before about God's tefillin, and concept. I mean, meaning, why would God need to fill in? Is it just like a connection vehicle for us? And are we personifying him that he has a head, or where does it, you know, how is it manifest? So, I mean, aside from what's on it, what's the...
Right. Right, so we have to figure out what's going on here, okay? And then it goes on and it says that God's tefillin also has four compartments, just like ours has, and has different verses in them, okay? Okay, so now let's go back. Let's see if we can figure this out. Let's see if we can figure this out, if we just take it slow. So first things first, we understand that God is not physical, right? There's no physical manifestation of God. That's the most important thing. That's like step one. So that whenever it refers to God in any anthropomorphic way, he has a hand, he has a head, he has a this or that, that can't be literal. It's all symbolic, okay? That's very important. Like, as a side, it's important for us to state, but it's very important to state this, that when Christianity talks about God in any way as physical, i.e. Jesus, etc., that already, you're off the page. It's like you've left, you're no longer in the stadium. You're no longer, it's impossible. Just, we don't, that's one of the basic premises. I mean, we go through the Rambam's 13, fundamental, laws of faith, we'll call it. One of them is that God has no physical being whatsoever. So whatever's going to be going on here in this Gemara is all symbolic of something. But it's deriving itself. You see from the way it says, Nishva Hashem Bimino. God, right? God blessed be. He swears on his right hand, by his right hand. So the idea, we already saw this imagery when the Jews come out of Egypt, we see the hand of God, the finger of God, all these different uses of physical attributes, but they're all symbolic. There's no actual physicality to God. The idea that God could wear tefillin already also is something that is, that's not, it's not, it can't be a literal thing. So that's, we set this premise up. And again, just to use that, it's important, like when you talk about this, interfaith, when we talk about any type of discussion with the Christians, see, Islam is different. Islam is also very clear not to understand that God has no physicality. Whereas Christianity is based on that, that there is a physical, man that they called God. So that's already a big problem. That's where we get into idol worship and etc. So that's already, they went off the rails. But it's interesting that I could show you multiple, interesting Torah texts that I could, or Torah ideas that if you make the wrong turn and go off the tracks, that's where you get to. So, the idea of multiplicity within God, sometimes that, they, especially in the Kabbalistic and also Hasidic, theology, that if you took it the wrong way, you go off the rails. But okay, so back to this. So here, and that's where Christianity, like you could see the in Kabbalistic writings, and when you like listen closely, you say, okay, I could see where they got some of their stuff. You're seeing it's not coming out of nowhere. They're borrowing, they're pulling from certain things, and then it gets mixed in with the pagan, ideology as well, and then you get some really, really funky stuff. So back to here. So now, if we, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you couldn't hear me before you were talking. I need to come back.
Yeah.
One quick question before you go on.
Yep.
You had mentioned. Okay, so you have, there's four compartments in each of the tefillin, right? The head and the arm.
Mm-hmm. No. So wait, hold on. So there are four compartments in the one on the top on the head, right? The Tefillin Shel Rosh has four distinct compartments.
Right.
And the Tefillin Shel Yad, there's just one, but in each one there are four paragraphs. So the same four paragraphs that you have in the top, which are separated out in sections, in the Shel Yad on the arm, you have those four. You have those four paragraphs on the parchment, but they're not in separate compartments.
Okay, but together, the one on the top, the same words on the top and on the Rosh and on the Yad, just one is in four pieces and one is a single piece.
Correct.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I had it.
Yep, okay, yep, sorry. Yep. It's interesting because I'm thinking about visually. Is it four separate klafim? It's a good question. I just want to double check that for a second. Am I able to do it? No, I can't. I'll look it up later. I think it's there. I think then the Tefillin Shel Yad. I want to say that they're that. You know, I'm not sure. I don't want to speak. I want to make sure.
I'll look it up.
Okay. Yeah. I think. The Shel Yad. Okay. Okay. All right. So now. Okay. So now now with that in mind, now that we have that understood, so that when we go back to a verse like they have here, it starts with an Isaiah, the Lord was sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. So what are we talking about there? So if anything, that's the idea of the right hand and the arm of his strength is symbolic of the right side. Okay. Now when we talk about the right side, we're talking about strength. We're talking about the arm is part of the body. Okay. So what's interesting is that this first pasuk, this first verse, Nishba Hashem b'imino, v'zro ozo. So from that, so that it's already talking about, it's connecting us to tefillin.
Right.
But right away, so now, it goes on and he just said, he dissects it. The right is talking about the Torah, b'imino zo Torah, as it says. His right is the Eish Das Lamo. Eish Das Lamo is talking about the fiery law of his people. Uvitzro Uzo, that's tefillin, because it's talking about strength. The Lord gave strength to his nation. That is tefillin. Now, what's interesting is in the pasuk in Yeshayahu in Isaiah, Nishba Hashem b'imino, God swears on his right. Uvizroa, and in the arm of his strength. But Izrozo, so here we're saying, we're defining that as tefillin. But then as we go down, we see here. Now look, listen what he does here. Now how do we know that tefillin are the strength for the Jewish people? As it says, that the people of the world, the nations of the world, who call Amaretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, they're going to see that God's name is upon you, has been called upon you, and they'll fear from you. And then what's interesting now, when I think of the tefillin on the arm, I think of the arm, right? I'm thinking arm right now, right? Going back to that Isaiah pasuk, it says, "Nishba Hashem b'imino." He's swearing on his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, uvizro uzo. Okay. Now look what the pivot here is. Then he goes in and says, oh, by the way, the O's, the strength is the thing that the nations of the world will fear from us because of the strength. But what strength is that? And it's called upon you. That's already pivoting us to the tefillin of the head.
Yeah.
You hear? So it's going. It's so even though mimino, I'm sorry, nishba Hashem bimino. Right. So here, nishba Hashem bimino, uzrozo. He swears on his right and on his arm of strength. But then, when it gets to the idea of strength, but the Gemara then says, and from where is it derived that the tefillin, the phylacteries, provide strength for Israel, as it says, and all the nations of the land shall see the name of the Lord. It was taught in a Braita that Rabbi Elazar the Great says, this is a reference. So when it talks about the strength of right? So when it says this idea, how do you know that that tefillin is the strength of the Jewish people? Because it says that the nations of the world will see that God's name has been called upon us, and they'll fear from us. And Rabbi Elazar HaGadol says that's referring to the tefillin on the head. Okay, so strength, even though it's uzro uzo, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol says that in the Deuteronomy pasuk in 28:10, when it talks about that they will see that God's name is called upon us, so that's talking about the tefillin of the head. Okay. So
one second. So they're talking about he's talking about the strength that his right hand is the strength, but then he talks about the tefillin's on your left arm.
Where do you see that?
Well, he doesn't talk about the tefillin on your left arm, but doesn't it say the Lord swore to his right hand on the arm of his strength? So your right hand is his strength side, correct?
Correct.
And then, but then later on when he's talking. So before he gets to the head part, it was something I talked about.
Uvizroa uzo. It just said the arm of his strength. It's God's arm. It's all about God's arm. Nowhere does it say at this point about anything sitting on God's head, right?
Right.
It's all about his arm. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that, right, there's nothing here that talks about God's head. Then we get into this pivot. We talk about how do we know that the tefillin are a strength for the Jewish people? Because it says that God's name will be called upon us. And that is talking about the tefillin that's on the head. Because that pasuk, when it says that the nations of the world will see us, that what? That God's name is called upon us, and they'll see us and they'll fear us. What is that referring to? That's referring to the tefillin on the head. Okay? Why? Because that's the only thing that they'll see. The tefillin that go on the arm are never seen. Okay?
Right.
So now, but right now...
Why is the tefillin on the arm never seen?
It's supposed to be covered.
Okay.
Right? So when we put them on, really, that's like on our arm. It's personal. The thing that's on the head... I'll tell you like this, because I want to talk about this, and we can go into more depth about tefillin for ourselves, but when you put on the tefillin on the arm, that's being tied to your body. That's like to your heart. And it's on, it's tied. Your laniach tefillin, we wrap that, it's on ourselves. The tefillin that go on the head, it's almost like the crown. It's on top of us. It's not on us in the sense that it's not...
Place.
I'm sorry?
Place or it's upon us.
Correct. It's not tied to us, right? It's really above. Like the idea of the crown is that it sits above us, it's not in us, as opposed to the one of the shalyad on the hand, on the arm, that's already. So right now, we see that God's tefillin, we see references, the whole beginning of this thing is this idea that God, right? So, and then we see the idea of Uzo, his strength, must be talking about tefillin, because we see this idea that for us, the strength of that tefillin is strength for us, because God's name will be called upon us. That's through the tefillin. The tefillin becomes the medium that God's name is. It's like a physical manifestation of God's name upon us. And that when people see that, they will fear us. So now, what's interesting is, even though the pasuk that so right now we have one verse from Isaiah, from Yeshayahu, that tells us, that gives us the derivation of God's wearing tefillin, because God swears, bimino, on his right, uvizroa uzo, and with his arm of strength, but it has nothing to do with tefillin that goes on the head, except that it's oz. And oz for us, the strength of oz, is our tefillin that goes on our head, as Rabbi Elazar HaGadol said, right? He says that this is the reference to the phylacteries of the head. Okay? So it's interesting right now that so far we have a source for tefillin, of God's tefillin, but that tefillin is on his arm. It's connected to quote unquote God's arm, you know, which again, it means a symbolic of, I would say, if you're going to think about the arm and the hand in the human body, it's about action as opposed to the cerebral, right? The thought. Okay. So fine. Okay, fine. So at least in a symbolic way, we see this idea of the arm or hand of God having some kind of tefillin, that the connection of God's, so to speak, arm, hand, is got tefillin on it. Now, what is in that tefillin? What's written in it? So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to Rav Chia, what's written in it? And Rav Chia Bar Avin replied, it says, who is like your people, Israel, one nation in the land? So look what he says here. God's phylacteries serve to connect him in a sense to the world, the essence of which is Israel. So that's kind of interesting. Now we're saying that if the arm and the hand, we'll call it the arm, is not to be taken literally, but it means there's something about arms and hands, about action, which you could have used, I would say, legs, feet are also in that category. So like when we think of people in action, we think about the hands, the arms, and the legs, the feet. But like that, the body of motion is the idea of activity, of doing something. So in that sense, God's doing and connecting to the Jewish people. So then he's got tefillin. His tefillin, his action, God's action, almost like, it's saying here, God's tefillin, what does it say? Who's like your people, Israel, one nation and land? Now, when did the Jews start wearing tefillin, as a side? Where does our tefillin come from? Comes from coming out of the land of Egypt. So that process of the Jewish people, when we come out of Egypt, we actively became a nation connected to God. We went from being the slaves of Pharaoh to the slaves of God, or in a way, becoming an extension of, like the... Right, we become connected to God in a sense that, listen, if God creates the world, right? So he's already pre-world, he's existing. So this whole play of God coming more into the world, the idea of like the Jews coming out of Egypt is not really an idea of God creator of the world, but we see that when God identifies himself in the first of the Ten Commandments, he says, I am the God who took you out from the land of Egypt, that God, his ability or his desire or to express his continued involvement in the world that he created is taking the Jews out of Egypt. So now, when we come out, one of the things that comes out, if you look at the four, and this is homework for later, is to look at the four paragraphs that are in the tefillin, and we'll see that they're all connected to coming out of Egypt. It's all about Well, is it all? Let's see something. Hold on. Let's see this. Let's take a quick look here. Let me pull this up here. So, okay, hold on. Okay. So the two less, right? We know the Shema paragraph. Those two connect us very much. But really, I guess there, it's really the second. It's the other ones. Kadesh li kol bechor. Listen to what it says there. It says in there, remember the day that you came out of Egypt from the house of slavery, ki bechozek yad, with a strong arm, hotzi Hashem etchem mizeh, with a strong arm God took us out from there. And then in the last paragraph of v'haya ki v'yacha Hashem el eretz haknani, when God brings you to the land of Israel, basically, right? The Eretz HaKnani. So then it will come. Your kid will ask you, Ki yishacha bin chamachar le'mor mazos, what's this? And you'll say, Bechozek yad hotzianu Hashem mi Mitzrayim mi beis avadim. With a strong arm, with a strong hand, God took us out from Egypt, from the house of slavery. Here's something interesting, right? You see, like, it's like, that's our tefillin, okay? So the whole idea of tefillin is a symbol, is again bringing us back to the fact that God took us out. And the last line of the second paragraph, this is the fourth paragraph, V'hayala ot al yadachav l'totafot b'neinecha, it's going to be a sign on your arm, and a totafot b'neinecha, between your eyes, Ki bechozek yad hotzianu Hashem mi Mitzrayim, because with a strong arm, the strong hand, God took us out from Egypt. You see therefore, when you hear, when you know that, when that's like strong in your, and like you're like, okay, that's tefillin. So when I go back to this line of Nishba Hashem bimino uvizro uzo, God swears with his right hand uvizro uzo, and with his arm of his strength. So what is that talking about? So Rabbi Avin, when he sees that, Rabbi Avin Barav Ada, when he sees, and he quotes his teacher, Rabbi Yitzchak, what is that talking about? It must be that God, it's talking about God's tefillin, right? You see, like, the idea of this, of the, you know, God's arm. So then it's, so what is this Gemara telling us? So God wears tefillin. Now, I think what it really is telling us then, when it says, what does God's tefillin say? Who is like your people, Israel, a nation in the land? So what it's telling us is that the Jewish people are really expressing God's hand in the world.
Interesting.
You hear? So now it's starting to make sense that God doesn't wear tefillin in the sense that we would wear tefillin, but the idea that God, in a theological type of way, is where it has some kind of, like, there's something, like, there's symbolic on God's arm, is because that God's arm is action. So God's action in the world is symbolized by the Jewish nation being in the world and being his chosen people to go and to be kind of his messengers in this world. Meaning, like, if God's behind the scenes and everything's being orchestrated by God, In a much more removed sense, let's say, the more tangible, the hands, the arm, you know, like that action, God's action is going to be expressed most noticeably by the Jewish people and their being existing in the world.
We are the arm of God, so to speak.
Correct, right? So now we're seeing this, like, the, and if the tefillin are, because if you go back to listen to this line, and all the nations of the land shall see that the name of the Lord is called upon you, and they will fear you. That's our tefillin. The Rebbe Elazar Kreitz says that's the tefillin that's on the head. Right? So that's the tefillin. So tefillin become God's being called upon us. So like you start to see like this, like intertwined, the tefillin symbolism, and that God would have tefillin, and his tefillin are an expression of the Jewish people being, the oneness of the Jewish people. So now, he says here, God's phylacteries serve, this is again, this is the commentary, but he's saying it, the God's phylacteries serve to connect him, in a sense, to the world, the essence of which is Israel. Okay, so that's basically, so but we understand now, like, how do we get here? But if you're sensitive to the text, to the idea that the whole tefillin in itself is an expression of God's involvement in taking us out from Egypt and becoming and taking us to be his. By the way, the thing I didn't tell you is that the two paragraphs of that these two paragraphs, not the Shema and the Vahaya, but rather the second two, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor and Vahaya Ki Yevyacha, are talking about the idea of that the firstborn animal belongs to God. And the idea of Pidyon Bechor, but the idea of the Kedusha, the sanctity of the firstborn, where's that coming from? And so too, the idea that the firstborn male should also be, has to be redeemed, really belongs to God. Again, deriving itself back from the fact that at the time when we came out of Egypt, God, the last plague was the killing of the firstborn. And at that point, God, in a sense, by sparing our firstborn, he took ownership. That's all connected in this again. So like the whole Exodus from Egypt and what it means, because we became God's people through that whole story. That's tefillin. That's what's going on. That's a major theme in the tefillin. Obviously, there's more to it. It's that there's this idea of the oneness of God and the idea of also of keeping his mitzvot, his commandments. But you start to see this idea of the expression of God's also being connected to the world and his active connection. God's connected, but like to see overtly that through the Jewish people, right? By the way, this clearly explains, I don't know clearly, but to me, it explains the idea of anti-Semitism, because anti-Semitism is the idea that, you know, why it's not a rational thing. But if there's a force anti-God in the world, so the Jewish people are going to bear the brunt of that. Meaning, if the world's not happy with God, or they're going to go after God's representative. So it's not even rational, right? It's not a rational thing. It's just like there's something that says I can't stand this thing because it's God, or it could be the flip side, that they're not happy with the way that we're supposed to be carrying out our mission of representing God, and they come in to smack us because we're not doing a good enough job. That could be also, you know, there are two sides to it. But all within the category of the messengers of God, right? So the question that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak continues is, the Holy One, blessed be He, glorified through the glory of Israel? And Rav Chiya Bar Avin answers, yes, this is exactly the point. This is exactly what we're saying. That is the whole, that's what the Gemara is saying here. The whole idea that God wears tefillin or has some, or this imagery of God's tefillin, is what the Gemara is really doing is that it's taking this original verse from Isaiah of Nishba Hashem b'imino v'yizro uzo, right? Hashem, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. And what does that mean? It means that he has tefillin, in the sense of that what the Jewish people do in this world, and as his messengers, it becomes an expression of his activity in this world. That's what it's saying. How do I understand that? Tefillin, because that's what, isn't that what tefillin's all about? Tefillin is, again, expressing this idea of our connection to God and his activity in the world, right? So that's, so you say, so now, whereas when we started reading the Gemara, we're saying, are these guys, like, where are they coming from? They've lost their minds. I mean, God's not physical. How does he wear tefillin? It doesn't make any sense. And now we're saying full circle that what got them going is the fact that you have this verse in Isaiah that talks about God's right arm. He swears on his right arm, on it, and on the strength of his arm, right? Like, what's that talking about? Well, Rav Yitzhak was saying that's because God wears tefillin in the sense of what tefillin represents. So with the idea of God having a right arm and his strength of his arm, again, is never to be taken literally. We see that already from when the Jews came out of Egypt and all the references to the hand of God, to the finger, Etzba Elokim, the finger, the hand, the yad, the arm. You know, it's like, it's not literal, but it means it's the activity of God. And it's interesting. If you look back at the, right, again, it was Pharaoh's, his sorcerers or the Chartumim. So they first, when they see the first couple of plagues, they call it, they reference one as the finger of God. And then as it goes on, it becomes the arm or the hand of God. So what do you go from one finger to hand? Because they started seeing that God's, you know, activity in the world was becoming more overt, right? So it went from a finger to a hand. Because what it really was saying is that you have more a more overt expression of God, you know, in a sense, coming out, so to speak. So that's this Nishba Hashem Yimino Zerozo. Within that framework of understanding of how we don't see it as literally that God's hand came down, or right, but rather this connection, activity. What's interesting is also, let's see if I can pull it up quickly here, but let me see. Let me try to, I want to show you something interesting. How do I do this? Let's see if I turn this thing. Okay, let me see if I can bring this up. Wait, it's not going to give it to me here. Let me open up. It's not letting me open up another one. Oh, it's not letting me open up another window. Darn. Okay, let me see if I can do this here.
Well, it's Microsoft. They literally invented Windows. They should be able
to. I know, right? But I'm trying to bring in a Google thing. That's the problem. I think they're right. But let me see if I can do this. How do I do this? If I do it over here, maybe? Oh, you know what I'll do? I'll use, let's see if it lets me bring this up. I'll bring Firefox. Who cares? Okay, let's do this.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, yeah, so let me do this. Okay, good. So let me do this. I want to show you something very cool. Okay, here we go. What? Wrong button. There you go, Safari.
No, it's Safari, but
Sephora put itself in there. Like, not right, right? Okay, let's see what we got here. Okay, here we go. Check this out. That's not what I wanted. How do I get to Tanakh? Here we go, Tanakh. Okay, here we go. Here.
The wrong button there.
Okay.
Jumped up.
Okay, so watch that. Let me show you this quickly. This is Isaiah. So I think it's Isaiah 6.
Hey, do you see Jonathan's screen?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, can you see it or no?
Yeah, I do.
I hit the wrong button. I can't see it. Hold on. Let me see. I see you.
It's still on sharing, right? It's still on the sharing thing.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yep.
Okay, now I'm gonna bring, you know, it's better in your Miyahu. Okay, let me show Jeremiah. Is it here? Oh, come on. I thought it's in here.
I'm going to jump out and jump right back in and see if I can
okay.
pick this up. For some reason, I'm missing a couple of the cameras.
Okay.
Where is it? Oh, come on. Okay. I thought I'd, okay. There's this imagery. I thought it's in, unless it's six also here. No, it's in, so it's, I'm making a mistake. It's got to be here. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. It's right here. It's like right in front of my face. Okay. So Isaiah 6. I knew that. I'm like, ah. So it's so interesting. It says in the sixth, in the year that King Uzziah died, I beheld my Lord seated on a high and lofty throne.
Right.
And the skirts of his robe filled the temple. Now, Vishulav Meleim et Haichal, I would say Vishulav Meleim et Haichal could be, I would translate it more literally, is that his legs filled, let's see something here. Okay, so Rashi, see they're using Rashi's Kemo Shulei HaMe'il, so that it's like the ends of his cloak, like it says in the English here, the skirts of his robe filled.
I didn't realize they had commentary like this on here.
Yeah, Sfarya is incredible, yeah.
Yeah. Well, all you have to do is click on a thing, and if there's commentary, it'll come up.
So, but look at, so does it have it in English? No, this is all, okay, so this is all in Hebrew. Okay, so I'll tell you what it's saying here. So when it says Vishulav Melim et Haichal, so again, it's not literal. So the idea, let me see, what's, okay, whatever. So, but you could see this, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Tachdehu Ra'itiv Yoshev Al-Kisei Bashamayim, he sees him sitting on the throne in the sky. Viraglav behechal hadom margulosa bebes hamikdash ladun aliziyahu shabali tol keter kuhuna. So he sees God sitting, so to speak, on his throne, and his feet are in the heichal. Okay. So this idea again of, like, what does that mean that God's feet are suspended in the heichal, is bringing us back to
what does heichal mean?
His the holy, it's the holy chamber. Let's say it like that for now.
Okay.
So it's like referring to, like, it's reference to like one of the one of the chambers of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. So the idea though is that you get this imagery of God's, when you see the legs, it's like he's there, you know, he's more, and now the arm thing is different, I guess. That's what we'll have to say, that there's a difference when I'm going to start looking at this and understanding it. I'm going to look at, you know, the legs as different than the way I'll look at the arm is action, it's activity, and that's where we see here that this whole, you know, this reference here is that we have, like, what did I just do? Whatever. So that it's like I'm pressing buttons, but you see this idea, the activity of God. And so then you have this idea of that when we see this that he swears on his right arm and his rozo, right away they understand that to be connected to tefillin. And that it's connected to the Jewish people. So that this idea of tefillin, which is, we really should probably spend like, you know, a class on this piece over here, has so many different the commentators like start talking about it, but they seem to have this common theme, which is what we really brought out at this point, is that so that the next step will be that the Jewish people are what creates the tefillin, so to speak, on God by our activities. That would be the next progression. That's the next step in this explanation, that we become the Jewish people. The idea that God's tefillin exists is really an expression of the Jewish people being his active, you know, extension in this world. And that, as we do, and as we, right, and as we are successful, that, right, it becomes, we then bring Hashem more overtly into the world. And then, you know, you can imagine that the stakes are actually very high in terms of, right? Now, I can't.
So I never thought, I heard the actions, and like the army actions and the head one being thoughts, and that made sense to me. It's interesting, I never really thought about it kind of as us being an extension of God, in that, like, that really, that our actions are an extension, so to speak, of Hashem. I never really thought it that way, and it seems so simple now that it's laid out this way,
right?
But it's also one of the reasons that, you know, I think we're so, I feel like we're so critical, maybe probably wrongly, maybe even the world, I mean, is so. The eyes of the world are always on Israel and the Jewish people, to the extent, I mean, we're a tiny people, and you cannot ever see a news day that where there's not something about Israel in it,
right?
Which it should be,
right?
You know, so I think it's clearly, I mean, it's kind of a thing where we are representatives. And also, I don't know if you remember back when the boys were taken, and then afterwards, some rogue people killed one of the, or burned one of the boys, somebody, in retaliation. And I don't know how you felt about it, but I think any time for me personally, there was a real personal connection to that action or that negative action that was taken, you know, so to some boys thousands of miles away from me. I felt not just embarrassed, there was a different sense of it, that we took it in our own hand and got to a level where we took a life, and you know, in retaliation. But no, it's interesting here that idea of connection. I've always felt that tefillin as a connection. I mean, I come on every day since, you know, for the last 5 years, and there's something really special about it. I never really understood why, because it's so foreign, so to speak, in terms of what it is, and yet there's something very, very connective about it, you know, the actions of it. So
yep. So that's it. So I'm gonna end it here, because I want to get. And I wonder. By the way, I wonder if Zoom's working today. It's gonna be real. We're gonna have to pivot quickly and go back. I'm not digging this whatever you call it, the Google option. But you're saying Microsoft has one also?
Yeah,
there's something called Microsoft Teams. And I believe it also has an option. It's going to be hard for you to figure out for today.
Yeah.
But there's also an option where if you don't have Teams, you can connect through the internet. In other words, you can use a web browser also if you don't have the program.
Right. All right, listen, I'm going to try Zoom at 10:30.
If you want, you can go. There is a test meeting for Zoom. If you Google Zoom test meeting,
okay,
you can actually test it real quick. Or if you want, I'm happy to help you test it if you want real quick beforehand.
Yeah, so you can, you know, let's just test it out already. I sent it out. I think I sent out the.
Yeah, you did. Okay, give me a second. I can bring it up on my phone.
All right,
I'm gonna go, and then I'll go upstairs to go with Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay.